Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, we're back with the Morning Crossfire. This morning, of course, moving on with our conversations. We usually have an open mic Friday at this time. And don't forget, today is a jackpot Friday. As far as one game is concerned, if you've not gone on oneplay.ng to get your ticket, one, two, or three, or as much as you want to get, you have to do that now. Because before I leave this morning, I'll do the draw and we'll pick the winner on Friday. Is only one person who goes on with a jackpot, and that jackpot is 50,000 naira. All right, so all you have to do is get to the website www.oneplay.ng. All right, that's number one, wordplay together, one play, the number one and the word play together, oneplay.ng. All right, you put that on your browser or in your browser, you type it and you go there. When you get to the page, your website, you see several boxes with several radio stations, but you have to click on the box that has Nigeria Info 99.3, Nigeria Info 99.3. When you click on that box, you see a button there that says play for 500 naira. So you can play for 500 naira. That's one ticket, or you can pick more than one ticket. Since it's a jackpot, the more you play, the more chances of winning. All right, so you can buy one, buy two. If you buy two tickets, that's 1,000. Buy three, and so on and so forth. You can pay online conveniently. You enter your phone number without the first zero. So if your number is 0700-993-99393, you enter 70, not the first zero. All right, if your number is 080, you enter 80, and then your number. Okay, and then, of course, before I leave this morning, we'll do the draw, live draw here in the studio, to pick the winner of the jackpot 50,000 naira for grabs, courtesy oneplay.ng. Head to the website right now and participate in that game. Our guest this morning, we're doing a little bit of a different thing today, though it's an open mic Friday. Professor Abiodun Adeni is our guest, so he will be speaking this morning. He is, of course, from Bayes University. All right, Bayes University, and he'll be talking about the outcome of the meeting between the president and state governors. He was on with me, but we've lost him. So once he comes up, we'll put him on. Stay with us. All right, 0700-993-993-993. We're all aware of what the president put out as a statement after the meeting with the governors. He talked about food security and affordability. He talked about security. He talked about, insecurity. He talked about things including state policing and all that. Then he talked about food security. He also talked about monetary policy and the CBN, because all these things affect whatever the conversation is in the country as we speak. So he divided them into three. Security of life and property. Then he talked about food security, and then talked about economic matters as a monetary policy and the CBN. So the exchange rate in particular. 0700-993-993-993, number to call. What are your thoughts on what the president has had to say, what the governors, of course, have also had to say? Would like to hear from you. 0700-993-993-993, number to call. Prof, please, can you kindly put your video on so we can see you? Good morning once again. Kindly enable your video, Prof, so we can see you, sir.
Okay, just in a second.
All right, sir. All right, no problem at all. 0700-993-993-993. I want to read a bit of what the president said before we pick the first call. So this is what he said. Dear Nigerians, and this is not fellow Nigerians, for a change, is that fellow Nigerians? Dear Nigerians, my administration is dedicated to evolving homegrown solutions to tackle our nation's food security challenges head on, including setting up schemes to bolster local food production and cut out all forms of rent-seeking tied to food importation. I know some of you have been talking about this rent-seeking of an issue. So someone has to collect money from you for you to be able to move food around, to bring food into the country, to bring food into the state. They want to cut out all is what he says. All, underline the word all. He went on to say, quote, "I reiterated this commitment during my emergency meeting today with the State House, at the State House, with all the 36 state governors, the VP, Kashim Shettima, National Security Advisor, IGP, and DG DSS." He says, first heading on the security of life and property. One, I have approved the creation of a committee that includes state governors and federal government representatives to explore, among other things, the possibility of establishing state police. Number two, I've also endorsed the training and equipping of forest rangers by subnational governments to protect human and natural resources in our communities. My stance is unequivocal. We must move aggressively to examine the issues raised, including the potential for establishing state police. Prof, are you there with us, please? We can't see you yet, sir. Hello, Prof. Sapiru, are you there? All right, more from what the president said. On food security, he says, following reports out of Kano and other areas about large-scale hoarding of food in some warehouses, I have instructed the National Security Advisor, the Inspector General of Police, the DGDSS, to coordinate closely. To ensure that security agencies in the states inspect such warehouses and take follow-up actions. He says, number one, we cannot allow speculators, hoarders, and rent seekers to undermine our efforts in ensuring that food is widely available to all Nigerians. Two, I will not establish price control board, nor will I approve the importation of food. I don't think that means that he's banning food importation. What he means to say is that government will not import food as a policy to address the high cost of food in the country. He says, we must extricate ourselves from this predicament because importation only enables rent seekers to perpetrate fraud and mismanagement at our collective expense. So who are those rent seekers he's talking about? And are they beyond the government regulation? Number three said, because it sounds like the rent seekers are powerful and they cannot be reached. Maybe they're invincible, you know, and invisible. Number three said, instead, we will support our farmers with schemes that encourage them to cultivate more food for the nation. And our question is, that support for food farmers, how long will it take to support them to plant, to grow, when we will need food now? That's what I want Prof to also answer as well. Number four, we must also rapidly but thoughtfully implement our livestock development and management plans, including dairy farming and others. Okay, you know, some of these things, you hear them, you don't see them, I don't know. On monetary policy and the CBN, he says, I urge all governors to trust the Central Bank of Nigeria with the management of our country's monetary policy and emphasize the need for designated institutions to effectively fulfill their mandate. The president says the cacophony of postulations on the fluctuation of foreign exchange rates, all those things people are saying, all the analysis and all that, because of cacophony, is adversely affecting the market. So we need to shush. Is that what you're saying, sir? Not everyone can be an expert. Not everyone can be an expert. So the likes of Bismarck Rwane, the likes of Kalu Aja, my friend, the likes of his president saying they should just hush for now. It says, if we have assigned someone a task, we must allow them to perform it. If they fail, then we must find a way to quickly remove them from the system. So Zeyo should allow Cardoso to brief. It says, I also ask our governors to always prioritize the welfare and prosperity of our people in their development programs, and I assure them that the federal government will continue to work diligently to improve the nation's overall revenue profile. As leaders, we must all work together to address insecurity, food security, and out-of-school children. Okay, I don't know where that came from. Let's go over to the phone lines. We'll try to get Prof on very soon. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. Who do we have on the line?
This is Pastor Ladito.
Well, Pastor, what do you think of the president's meeting with the governors?
You see, it's like we are majoring the mind. You know what I said? This government forgets to realize a lot of things is tied, especially farming, is tied to petroleum products. I will give you an example. If a farmer produces tomatoes in the north and he has to bring it to the west here to sell, it will take a diesel vehicle to bring it down. How much is the cost of diesel? That's it. Consider the candidate who is on that line. Within this wheelbarrow to bring it from that side. Secondly, I think government should have somebody who will criticize government policy, both constructively and unconstructively.
All right, so thank you.
Let's basically criticize.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Make some corrections.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Professor Bede, are you there, sir? Can you hear me, please?
Yeah, I can hear you. I'm not sure if you can hear me.
Yes,
can you
hear me? Yes, Zoe, we can't see you, but we can hear you.
Yeah, I've been working on it. I'm sorry. It's a device issue.
Okay, no problem. Prof, we'll go with this for now. And for those of you wondering, Professor Abiodun Adeniyi is the head of the department of mass communication based University Abuja. Professor Adeniyi is a public affairs analyst. He was communications consultant, World Bank Economic Reform and Governance Project, ERGP, at the Bureau of Public Procurement, Presidency Abuja, 2009-2013. Prof, it's good to have you. I want your overall take on that meeting and the outcome of the meeting with between the president and the 36 state governors, as well as some of the security heads.
I think it was a welcome development coming against the background of the groundswell of opinion on so many inadequacies in the land, inadequacies around food security, inadequacies around, you know, cost of living crisis, you know, that of course around we should subsidize fuel, subsidize energy, and such other issues be doubly us. And of course, there are threats to our political system, the evolution of our democracy. You know, some of these contradictions, some of these difficulties are threatening the joy, the well-being of the people, and we're beginning to fear for our democracy and for the future of this country. So it was a welcome development that the president was taking the bull by the horn, trying to meet with all stakeholders, including the governors across party lines, to resolve or to find some solutions. Yes, there have been some initiatives. Those initiatives are welcomed. But you see, it goes beyond these optics, these initiatives, really. Our bane is actually the implementation of some of these programs and outlines that government officials often announce. Look, since President Tinubu took over, if he has been able to implement even 20% of some of his many pronouncements, I'm sure we won't be at this low that we presently are now. Remember some months ago, he announced some palliatives, you know, some of them amounting to billions of naira. But I dare say that, you know, those announcements, those programs was probably initiated in the breach. Nothing was seen. Nobody in this country will say that they were beneficiaries of those initiatives, those programs. At the end of the day, most of the time, what you see is that, yes, it will be initiated, money should be released, or materials should be released, but it will get hijacked at some point, you know, by some fat cats, barracudas, you know, that are working against the interests of the Nigerian people. So if we have to make progress, I think that the president and the leaders, the governors, will have to muster enough political will, you know, to actually forget about whose ox is God and make sure that programs get to those who are supposed to benefit from it, the people, that is. Then, you know, they should enforce things, processes and procedures, use agencies that they have on their hands, you know, to ensure proper execution of policy pronouncements. Otherwise, we'll just continue to move in circles. You'll see this jamboree of meetings. You see this excitement of announcements, pronouncements. At the end of the day, it ends like that. I will continue in the situation that we are in. Insecurity, sufferings among the people, you know, food shortage, and all kinds of shortages that you can actually imagine that will be in now in this century that we are in, my brother.
Interesting, Prof, you talked about this, because this is the second time the president will be meeting with the state governors, if I'm not mistaken. Do anything really come out of these meetings with the governors of the states? In your opinion?
Yeah, that's the point, really. See, everything has been politicized. Everything has been obfuscated by politics in different dimensions. The first one is that, do not forget, we have an APC-led government, and we have governors who are from PDP states. Some of the governors who are from PDP states who want to make a statement by either you know, keying in completely or maybe half-assedly. You know, so the commitment may not be there. That's one concern. The other concern is that even when the policy pronouncements are made, political considerations may prevent complete implementation. Because you are thinking that this one is my friend, this one belongs to my political party, this one has is loyal to me, and if you think you should offend the person to implement projects, you now want to backtrack, you know, because you are prioritizing the interest of your friend or your crony or your partner ahead of the interest. So everything is obliterated by political considerations. And that's the fear, really. And that's the argument that if the president, the governors, or the president particularly, if he wants to see progress being made, or if he wants to take us out of the woods that we are in now, food shortage, insecurity, joblessness, hopelessness, you know, haplessness, the solution really is for him to be strong-willed, muster enough political will, and disrupt the process. And this is just possible, you know, but when he's not disruptive, trying to paper the crack, you know, trying to please people, trying to be nice, you know, and align business as usual, then of course we are in for the woods.
All right. Interesting points you made. 0700-993-993-993. For our listeners and our female listeners, have a special line if you're finding it difficult to get through to us with that main line. 0201-465-7190. Take one call before we go for a break. We come back. We continue with our guests. Good morning.
Good morning, Kofi Bartels.
Yeah. Name and contribution, please.
My name is from Satellite.
Good to hear from you.
I want to thank the prof. He has properly analyzed everything, and I think I align with him as well. I am not a fan of this administration. I'm not a fan of the president. But I think the communique he came up with is one that I welcome, especially as it concerns the issue of state policing and forest rangers. Because one of the reasons why we're having food shortage is because our farmers are being driven off their farms. They're not allowed to farm. There is no security for them. So who are those that are farming today? If you come to my village, garri used to be one of the cheapest things. But today, in my village in Abia State, garri is even more expensive in Abia State, in my village, than it is here in Lagos, which is quite unfortunate. Because
Emeka, it's also partly because your brothers and sisters have stopped farming. Most of them have stopped farming. They are not interested
that's what
in
I'm
that.
Saying, yeah. You are not hearing me. I said our farmers have been driven off their farms. Because of insecurity.
Yeah, apart from insecurity, my brother, some of your brothers and sisters are not interested in farming anymore. That's another issue.
I disagree with you.
All right.
Even the elderly people who are known to be farmers are afraid of going to the farms these days. So if we could establish those forest rangers, because it goes beyond rhetoric, not beautifully scripted rhetoric.
All right.
It has to talk about practicability. Able to be pragmatic in what it is, like the prof mentioned.
Okay, you've spent more than a minute. Thank you so much. Feel free to call back. Prof, we'll be right back with you after this break.
Okay.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back. 0700-993-993-993. Number to call this morning as we have analysis of the outcome of Mr. President Bola Tinubu's meeting with 36 state governors and some heads of some security establishments in the country. Our guest this morning, Professor Abiodun Adeni, is the head of the Department of Mass Communications, based University of Abuja. He's a public affairs analyst. He was communications consultant with the World Bank Economic Reform and Governance Project, ERGP, the Bureau of Public Procurement at the presidency in Abuja from 2009 to 2013. He joins us via video link this morning. You be a part of the conversation, please call the number 0700-993-993-993. And our female listeners who cannot get through to us using that number, because of the volume of calls, can call the special line for female listeners, 0201-465-7190. 0201-465-7190. I'm Kofi Bartels. Says, morning, Crossfire. Different flavor to Open Mic Friday, which we have every single Friday. Of course, I'm sure most of you are already aware of the resolutions reached at the end of the meeting between Mr. President and the 36 governors, as well as the heads of DSS, the IGP of Police, and the National Security Advisor. Major takeaway from the president, because some statements have been put out from the president's media aides. For instance, senior special assistant to the president on media and publicity, Temitayo Ajayi, released a statement. Also, that statement was issued by Bayo Onanuga, but the president himself put out his tweet yesterday afternoon, so you can check it out. One of the things from that statement from Bayo Onanuga regarding insecurity, which is affecting farming and food production, the president made four major pronouncements. More police personnel to be recruited to strengthen the police force. The president also saying that the governors, federal government will work at the National Assembly to put in place a mechanism for vigilantes. But the president had to come up with a statement saying, you know, they've not decided to have state police, but they want to discuss it to see in a committee whether it can be done. Also, forest rangers, I want to equip more forest rangers to keep the forest safe. Not just natural resources, but human resources as well. So he's talking about subnational governments. Professor Abiodun, what do you think about it? Professor Adeni, what do you think about this? The decisions made on security as far as that meeting was concerned. Let's start with state police. They have not decided yet. They want to form a committee to discuss it. Is that good?
Okay, but first of all, let me just put something on record. I'm no longer the head of the Department of Mass Communication. I'm Deputy Dean School of Postgraduate Studies, Bayes University.
All right. Thank you very much for that correction.
Just for the record.
Thank you very much.
And and to your very important question, I think that if we just continue the way we were, without necessarily injecting some new ideas into our security ecosystem, then of course we will be deceiving ourselves. Do not forget, even before President Bola Ahmed Tinubu became president, he's been a main campaigner for state police. And the point has been made severally that in a federation, you hardly can have an effective single unitary central policing arrangement. It has to be devolved, powers have to be decentralized. And over the years, we've been living a lie, claiming that we have only one policing system. Practically all states of the federation have one kind of policing security arrangements, you know, either last mile in Lagos, whether Yambaga, whether there's one in Kano, you know, Hisbah police in Kano, you know, and everywhere else you see one kind of arrangement, security arrangement, to complement, you know, the regular statutory state police. So which means that if we have all the, what about Moteco in the Southwest? So if we have all these kind of arrangement, it means that the system is tending towards the diversification of the policing arrangement, of our security arrangement. Then why don't we just embrace it and, of course, call them to arms, you know, let them bear arms and be able to help us mitigate, you know, the fears that we all live in. Remembering also that those who threaten our security system are threatening it only because they have one advantage over us. They are carrying guns, you know. And if you are carrying guns, and it gives you this false sense of authority over the one that is unarmed. And that's the only advantage that criminals have over us. But in a situation where we have some more personnel in our system, not just the federal police, but the state, but a state arrangement, an arrangement that is community-based, that is closer to the people, understands the sentiments and emotions of communities. Of course, we should expect that we will be upping the ante with regards to ability to not just to probably not just cope with the threats of criminals, but to nip the antics in the bud. And that's what I think, really. It's just time that we think out of the box, or probably without the box, and of course expand our network of security personnel. And that's the line in which I think the government is thinking, trying to introduce state police, which we've been talking about. But you know, it's a constitutional matter. It's not something that the president or the governors can decide alone. Mm. Perhaps that's why they are thinking about discussing it, tabling it for the national the National Council of State, which is also another route to go. So what they are probably thinking now is that how to do it, you know, without the Constitution being tweaked, without constitutional alteration, or how to do it without offending the prescriptions of the Constitution. That's the option left for them, because if we have to go through the constitutional route, it will take time. Remember that in the past 24 years, we've been trying to amend our Constitution, and we've not succeeded at it. So it's a welcome development, whatever can be done to make us sleep, you know, live or sleep with our two eyes closed. I think it's in order. But
okay.
Government, we need these things done like yesterday, not today.
All right. Quite interesting, Professor Dini. One of the things the president also, in his own statement, not the one by Bayo Ndaga now, is talking about the forest rangers, which is not something most people are aware of. I think the only place I've seen a forest ranger was in the Cross River National Park. We don't see them everywhere. I don't know if we have a department for that. But he's saying that subnational governments, he's endorsed training and equipping of forest rangers by subnational government. Maybe this is sort of another way to create state police. Because if the subnational governments are able to equip and train forest rangers, not to protect forests alone, but to protect human beings as well in our communities, then is that not indirectly a state policing arrangement, Prof?
Yeah, like I said earlier, you know, any kind of alternative policing arrangement is welcome at this time. Criminals are taking advantage of the fact that, you know, vast areas of Nigerian land, you know, are deindustrialized. You know, there's huge forestation. You know, there has been underdevelopment over the years of local communities, the absence of government, you know, born out of long years of corruption, the absence of transparency and accountability. So they are taking advantage of the failure of government over the years, you know, which has led to or perpetuated underdevelopment. And we're just being called to action now. We're just being reminded of our failures in the past, especially on the part of leaders. And who are those reminding us? Unfortunately, the criminals, you know, because they are taking advantage of empty lands. And if we have to confront them where they are, of course, we have to be looking at alternative means, you know, of confronting them where ordinarily the forest rangers are supposed to be trained. So if we're going to be arming the forest rangers, why not? Remember, apart from the police, argument has been made that we have 27 security agencies. Apart from the military, we have the NSCDC. You know, there are also sections of them also bear arms. We have the Federal Road Safety Commission, which is also a security agency, even though they don't bear arms for now. But we know that they do need to bear it because they are exposed often on the road. And of course, sometimes they've been victims of assassination and needless death. You know, so the argument here is that, yes, in the short term, we need to confront the criminals. And how do we confront them? Also, for sections of our personnel to also bear arms, you know, so that they can be balance of terror, because they are terrorizing us because we are not armed, you know. And of course, they know that we will be at their mercy if they accost us, if they grab us, you know. So if we have a lot more of our personnel confronting them, of course, there will be balance of terror. There could be reduction in their antics, in their machinations against the Nigerian state. So, my dear, I think anything that will help us deal with insecurity will be helpful, really, realizing that it has also snowballed. There's been a domino effect from the insecurity situation leading to inactivity in the farmlands. Farmers cannot go to land. And if farmers cannot go to the farm, of course, there's decrease in production. And if there's decrease in production, the byproduct is shortage of foods in the market. And of course, who are those that will bear the brunt at the end of the day? The people. Because there won't be food, and the little that will be available will be very expensive, which people cannot afford. Right.
So,
you know?
So, Prof,
you can see
you can see
the chain of causation.
Yeah, you made a case, but how will this work? Are the governors constitutionally empowered to purchase weapons and arm groups?
No,
or will this? Will
nothing,
this yeah.
There's nothing we want to do that we cannot get done. If we have the will, there will always be the way. Remember, after God, the next most powerful sector is the government. Government can be very powerful. They can do it if they want to do it. They can even do it, you know, maybe, you know, there are ways in which the constitution can be, you know, I don't want to use the word circumvented now, you know, but there are emergency measures that can be taken to help them procure arms so that relevant personnel can be trained. Do not forget, training is very important because bearing arms is not like a stroll in the park. You know, it needs some techniques. You need to have the right psychology. You have to have the right mindset. You have to know that it's not something you use to settle quarrel. You know, it's something that you use only when life is threatened, you know, or when you want to defend someone else whose life is being threatened, or when you want to deal with a criminal who needs to be taken out outrightly. You know, so if we have all these pieces correctly put in the jigsaw, I think we're good to go.
Okay, let's see who we have on the other side. Thank you, Prof. We'll come back to look at the economic aspect of things very shortly. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, name and contribution, please.
Yeah, see you on the line.
All
yes,
right.
For the government policy, I don't care. I'm not bothered at the kind of policy they're bringing. But you see, there's one thing that sets a man free. That is the truth. Prior to 2015, when Jonathan was was the president, you see, this is a group. If you have time, go and meet my good friend, Pastor Ayo Orisi. Therefore, you can never sit down and talk today. He warned us. Some Northerners know what was happening. It's only like, see, Nigeria has a problem. And that problem is that there's a madman terrorizing this country. How can some people come in from another country, kill your doctors, kill your engineers, kidnap your lawyers, and you don't know them? Only in Nigeria that somebody can come from a place like Mali and say his name is Ibrahim Mohammed.
All right. Thank you so much. Because of time, let's pick another caller. Hello, good morning. Hello, good morning.
Morning, Kofi.
Welcome. Name and contribution, please.
Yeah, my name is Shegun.
Shegun, welcome.
Well, yeah, as it relates to the statement or policies of the government,
yeah,
I remain an unrepentant pessimist. Now, thanks to your... The prof mentioned something. That this current occupier of the seat, when he was governor, was shouting state police. What would have thought... If he was preparing to preside over this country, probably one of the plans he would have at the back of his mind is how to, you know, implement the state police. All these things are just reactionary. So if you go back to the meeting was just about an hour, and they came out and were reeling out all sorts of things.
Yeah, but they've looked at a way of giving the governors an opportunity to equip a force known as Forest Rangers.
In an hour. In a country that is plagued by insecurity, people are dying every day. In an hour, people just go in and come out and read out stories to us. Come on. We don't understand what we have around here. If we do, look, in Sena crime, you're probably going to gather the best brains with regards to security, and they'll have to be brainstorming for days, if not months.
All right. Thank you very much.
What we have.
Thank you so much for your time. Prof, let's go. Sorry about that. We're not taking calls on Skype. So if you're calling Skype, please stop calling. Prof, sir, Adini, let's look at another thing the president talked about, which happens to be on the monetary policy and the Central Bank of Nigeria. He's urging Nigerians, everyone, and even the governors as well, to trust the CBN with the management of our country's policy. He's concerned about what he calls the cacophony of postulations on the fluctuation of foreign exchange rates, which he says is adversely affecting the market. So he says everyone cannot be an expert. So if you talk about the FX rate now, the foreign exchange rate of Nigeria, he's saying, for instance, you're part of that cacophony and it's affecting the market negatively. So keep quiet. Is that a way of looking at it? What do you think?
No, I don't think so. You see, changes are not effected in the social system through preachments, you know, through admonitions, you know, through evangelism, you know. It's not a religious affair. It's a secular affair, you know, including which involves or entails governance, you know, and governance processes, people's attitude can be altered through rightful policies well implemented. You know, if the people begin to see government policy and government is seen as being determined to implement them, government is seen as not minding who sucks his God, government is seen as executing these policies religiously, dealing with those who try to circumvent them, you know, apprehending them, prosecuting them, and sanctioning them, it will be a deterrence. It will become a deterrence, and people will see that government is serious. An element of trust that the government president is probably preaching about will be engendered naturally. Okay? It's not something that you can just preach, you know, admonish people about. No, it's something that will come about if government see determination in practical, empirical terms. And that's why we have to call the fact that policies cannot be implemented. Political will is the main driver of change in every social system. And that's what we have to continue to remind the government about, you know. For now, everything we are seeing is just business as usual.
Yeah, yeah.
But preaching to people.
But Prof.
And when you are preaching to people, yes, please.
This government has become known for passing the buck. PDP governors come out, they say, oh, the government needs to do better on security, economy. They start blaming them. Oh, how much have you collected as allocation? You guys are the problem. Labour Party speaks and says the economy is not working, blah, blah, blah. They come and say, no, you are the, you know. And now the president is blaming public affairs analysts like yourself. You're part of it. Except you have not spoken on the economy. He's blaming Bismarck Riwane. He's blaming Kalu Aja for the woes of the dollar. Now, sir, is this the sign, the body language of a government that knows what it is doing? When the president says he's paying attention, not telling the people what he wants to do, he's paying attention to what he calls a cacophony. He's even used the word cacophony of postulations on the exchange rate, and he says not everyone can be an expert. Should he just leave people alone? And then they focus on their job. Prof, very, very briefly in a minute.
I think I agree with you. People should be left alone. Let them focus on their job. I'll be very serious at it. Realizing that, you know, they've been elected for a purpose. We trust them. That's why they were put there in the first instance. The buck stops at their desks now. And if they think that anybody could be brought to book for any offense or infraction, nothing is stopping them from apprehending people, you know. But we're in a democracy. People people are wont to idealizing, you know, to profiling their opinion, their suggestions. And when people are going through experiences, people cannot be stopped from talking about them. Yesterday, pounds was nearly about 2,000, you know. Dollars was nearly about 1,600 naira.
All right,
it's impossible for people not to talk about these
things. Thank you, Prof.
And that's the tragedy of the situation.
Thank you.
That's why we're saying that when policies are initiated, they should be implemented religiously.
Prof, thank you so much. We should have more time, but we have to pull the plugs at this point. But I want to thank you so very kind for your time. Sorry about the initial issues that we all had, and we look forward to having you again.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Professor Piero Andini of Bayes University has been our guest on the Morning Crossfire today. This president said, I asked for this job and I'll do it. Don't pity me. And today he's telling Nigerians that the experts and the analysis is affecting the dollar negatively, exchange negatively. I think Nigerians will be asking if he really meant what he said when he says, I asked for this job and I'll do it. Don't pity me. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.